The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yes, you guessed it. Serena Bellissimo, presenter of the Bellissimo Files on Spin 103.8, is here to talk about E.T. Serena, why?
Because, like, everyone must be going, is she dropping this in again? But this week, on Saturday, E.T. turns 40. The 40th anniversary of the release of E.T. Can
really?
You believe it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Drew Barrymore is now 47. And she was 7 when it was released, but she was only 5 or 6 when she played Gertie in it. Do you remember your first E.T. viewing?
I don't remember the first time. Do you know what, Serena? It is probably 30 years since I've seen E.T.
Yeah, it's not something that I watch time and time again. Mine is probably maybe 7 years ago because I introduced it to my now 11-year-old.
And well, what did he think of it?
She loved it. Yeah, she loved it. I'm interested to see what my 6-year-old boy thinks of it. But
yes.
She did get bored in bits, but overall, she loved it.
I think I watched it at my cousin's house was the first time I saw it.
On VHS.
On VHS. For some reason, I have a kind of a memory of that. But I couldn't like that. It is an awful long time since I've seen it. I've kind of only vaguely remember E.T.
Well, I think the thing with E.T., because it's so attached, you know, with films that you watch as a kid, you may not have watched it again, but you think it is phenomenal because in your childhood you watched time and time again. And I think that was E.T. for me. This film was actually at the cinema. Now, this is unheard of. People listening in today going, there is no way. It was at the cinema for a whole year.
Whoa, no way.
Exactly. It's something like nowadays, if you've waited a month to see your favourite film, you may not catch it. It may not still be there. But at the time, it was there for a year. This was Spielberg's, one of his biggest films at the time. The film that surpassed this at the box office was Jurassic Park, which was Spielberg just basically beating Spielberg.
Wow.
But this was such an adorable film about, you know, it covered so much. It covered family, it covered loneliness, it covered friendship. It was just such a beautiful film. It was cute.
Why did it cover loneliness? Because, right, here's my recollection of E.T. Alien arrives, wants to get home. There's something about a telephone that he maybe might be able to use.
Do it. How does he say it?
E.T. phone home or something like that. And then authorities somehow get wind of all this and there's an attempt to find E.T. and eventually Elliot escapes with his pals by flying bicycle and E.T. gets home.
And you described it there. But in the 80s as well, this was about a family whose father had walked out on them.
I don't remember that.
Elliot was quite lonely, didn't really have many friends, couldn't hang out with his brother who was that little bit older than him. You know, the big brother would think of him as the annoying little brother. Then there was Gertie, who was amazingly played by Drew Barrymore. Interestingly enough, Henry Thomas, who played Elliot, when he auditioned for the role of Elliot, he thought of his dog dying and he sobbed and Steven Spielberg sobbed as well and gave him the role of Elliot on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore, like the performances that Spielberg was able to get out of these kids as well. And I think as a kid watching this, there was such wonder and there was such awe. And you also thought you felt like you were a part of their lives. And the reason why you did that is you felt that is because Steven Spielberg actually brought the camera down to the kids' level. So you were seeing everything from the kids' point of view.
Oh, right.
Isn't that genius?
At child's eye level.
Yeah. So
that's very clever.
Yeah. So you were part of their world. Now, this, as I said, like a lot of us probably haven't seen this in years. You may actually now go back to it because it's 40 years since it was released. You may introduce it to your kids. I'd love to know what other people's kids.
I assume it won Best Picture that year, did it?
No, it didn't. Gandhi won. It was 1982. And Richard Attenborough was actually, he felt bad that his own film won because he felt that E.T. was the one that should have taken the film. But do you know what? It did win over people's hearts. And some of the actors that came out of that really won over people's hearts, especially like Henry Thomas, who we keep talking about, who played Elliot. His film career and TV career has sort of gone up and down. He's had a few breaks and stuff. But the standout from the beginning and still to this day has to be Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, Dirty Gertie yourself. I mean, this was before.
I've never heard her called that before in my life. life.
This is before, I suppose, Drew had some of her own issues. She would have been too young at this point. But this is maybe the start of it, the start of that life.
This was. She came from the Barrymore dynasty, John Barrymore being her grandfather. She was really lucky. Like, you know, you've seen a lot of child actors where they're very famous very quickly, and then unfortunately they go off the rails. Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, a few of those. Drew Barrymore was really lucky to have some great people around her. Steven Spielberg, she thinks of as her own father, right? I mean, you see photos of Drew Barrymore as a kid in what was that club in New York?
Club 52 or 51?
64?
Club 64. Anyway,
one of those.
People,
anyway,
people are texting and correct
that,
us. Yeah.
Yeah, that New York club. She was only like 10 or 11, you know. She was, she was getting high. She had a real tumultuous childhood. But she came back here on, and I think because she had the right people around her, her film career has been great. I mean, she doesn't only act, she directs as well. She doesn't direct, she produces. Mm. Charlie's Angels, that reboot came about because of her. I love that Charlie's Angels reboot with Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz.
I think, wasn't it, after all that kind of up and down, that roller coaster, it was this movie, I think, really, that kind of brought her right back into the spotlight. Let's take a listen.
Well, the first one was, but the rest sucked.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Why, you want to ask me out on a date?
Maybe. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
What did you say?
I want to know who I'm talking to.
That's not what you said.
What do you think I said?
Ooh, now, very scary.
I'm a wuss, so I don't do horror, right? But I almost went to see Scream. I haven't seen Scream. Because petrified.
So you don't know you don't understand the context of that clip.
I know that Scream. I know that that was really brave of the Scream producers because they had a massive star killed off within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, runs out of the house, gone.
Yeah. So, and that's the only bit I've seen of Scream because I love Drew Barrymore, right? So like she did Scream. She also went on, I think one of my favourite collaborations with Drew Barrymore, aside from Charlie's Angels, is the ones she does with Adam Sandler. I love her in The Wedding Singer. Julia Gulia.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Wedding Singer. The Wedding Singer is a great soundtrack as well.
It does, doesn't it? It's a great film. She's also done 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler. She has sort of stepped away for a little bit from the acting, and she's now gone down the route of talk show host. And we don't get her show over here, the Drew Barrymore show, but I follow it online. And the clips she has up online, it just looks like a great talk show. She got renewed again. She also has a beauty line, Flower Beauty. So, you know, she's pretty successful in her own right.
She's doing all right. I mean, it's amazing what being born a millionaire will do. You turn it into more millions. Anyway, Steven Spielberg as well. He kind of went on to make a few other movies, didn't he?
Just a few tiny ones. I don't know, when it comes to directors, a lot of people are probably going to say the same thing. He's my favourite. He really is my all-time favourite director.
Well, he did make Jaws, the best movie. Oh, I think you and I have agreed, best movie of all time.
Okay, I thought I'd let you get that in. So he did Jaws. He followed it up with E.T. I think for me, one of my favourite, all-time favourites, and I've only seen this once, I actually can't watch it again, and I know I'm going to have to sit there and watch it again with my kids, is Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah. I probably only saw that once as well.
I remember going to the cinema to see it with my best friend, and we came out and we couldn't talk for 10 minutes afterwards. We were still sobbing uncontrollably. Like, it is one of the best films. I think everyone needs to see it. I can't recommend seeing it more than once, though, because it is a tough watch. Another film that, like, we spoke about, Jurassic Park there. He directed that, and it knocked E.T. off the box office records. He's done Hook. He's done The Color Purple. Have you seen this? Brilliant.
That's the Oprah Winfrey one.
It's the Whoopi Goldberg one, right? Oprah Winfrey co-stars, and she's managed to hijack it and make it all about her. But that is brilliant. He was brilliant directing that. And there's another one that a lot of people don't know about, and I really enjoyed this one. It's The Post. Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hanks. It was all about a newspaper. And look, I probably have a soft spot for this because I got to interview Meryl and Tom for this role.
Oh, wow.
And that has to go down as one of my all-time favourite interviews ever.
Meet your heroes.
Meet these two. They were amazing. So, we all know that Steven Spielberg has gone on to have a great career. What's happened to some of the others? Well, Henry Thomas, he sort of did bits. He took a break. He's now most...
He was in Legends of the Fall.
Was he really? Yeah, what was he in Legends of the Fall?
Was he one of the brothers in Legends of the Fall?
I'm going to have to go back and look that up. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a big enough role for him. Yeah. Where he's sort of...
Gangs of New York. He had a role in Gangs of New York.
Okay,
he has a very recognisable face, you see, doesn't he?
He does, but like...
Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yes. Now, that's what he's doing recently. The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor, and there's a third one coming out for Netflix. So he's done that. The others, KC Martell, who he played the older brother.
Oh.
He hasn't really done much. He sort of stopped after 85, 86. Did you used to get Growing Pains here in Ireland?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah. He was, I don't remember, you probably would. I don't remember him in Growing Pains. He has about 10 or 11 credits there. He did a guest spot as Eddie. So he obviously played probably Kirk Cameron's friend or something like that. And then there's Dee Wallace, who plays the mum. And she's one of those faces as well that you go, I don't know where I've seen. I know I saw you in E.T.
Lots of stuff.
But
yeah.
She has 266 acting credits to her name.
Okay.
So she's gone on to have a popular career. But I just want to say one more for you because we spoke about her last week. We spoke about Erica Alniak from Baywatch.
Oh,
Shawnee.
Is Shawnee in this?
Do you know what she's credited as?
What?
Pretty Girl.
Oh, of course she is.
So,
Yes.
For your interest as well, Erica Alniak actually has a film coming up on her IMDb, Marilyn Monroe Returns. So something about a woman who thinks she's Marilyn Monroe. So we're looking forward
to
that.
We look forward to reviewing that in the coming weeks. Serena Bellissimo, host of the Bellissimo Files on Spin 103.8. Thanks a million for that. As always, we'll get the news headlines.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.